Good morning to you, Christine.
Good morning, Kerry.
Lovely, look at that.
Nice to speak to you.
Lovely, loud and proud, all the way from Warwickshire, so you tell me.
I am indeed.
You are. Lovely. Now then, I have told our lovely listeners the book is called Jack Flynn and the Pirate Porthole. And we've said that we've liked to feature a few of the Candy Jar authors over this last few weeks of the summer holidays who have done books for children. So please, without further ado, Christine, tell us what it's all about.
Well, my book is about a young boy called Jack Flynn, as in the title, mm-hmm. and he is school age. He is 10 years old and just what you would say a normal school boy, really. Goes to school every day, has his packed lunch with him, and he likes to visit his auntie, who lives by the seaside, and his auntie is, she's just a crazy lady, really.
Crazy
She's good fun. Yeah, she's good fun. She's an artist. And when the family go, he's got two sisters, and when the whole family go to visit his auntie, she always has a bit of surprise because she decorates their bedrooms with a bit of a theme when they get there. And when Jack turns up to his room when he stays with the auntie, she's decorated it in the style of a pirate ship cabin. So very exciting indeed.
Excellent.
And the fun starts from there, really.
Okay, so what sort of age? Obviously, you're saying that Jack is around the 10 years of age mark. So presumably, that's the sort of age range that you're pitching the story in the book at.
Yeah, the book sort of age really for readers between 6 and around 10. Really,
okay.
I would say it's about that age range.
Lovely, lovely. Now, in true sort of adventure style, you've pretty much thrown the works at it, though, haven't you, with everything that goes on in the story?
Yes, well, I'd like to, you see. There's a lot of adventure.
Yeah.
There's a bit of mystery,
mm-hmm.
A bit of magic. I do like stories with a bit of magic in, and always have to.
Yes,
happen.
Of course.
And there's a sea monster, and there's lots of pirates. The pirates are very smelly. They don't have a wash very often.
No.
So, yeah, there's a bit of everything in there, I think.
And so I would have said in the old days, you said, oh, yes, absolutely what every boy wants to read. But, of course, now we have to say, oh, no, girls can be pirates too.
Oh, absolutely, yes. There's lots of, there's an interest for girls in there too.
Yes.
So, yeah, pick it up and read it, I would say.
So now, some of the background notes on your good self tell me that you have become a teacher slightly later in life. I think that's a reasonable sort of way of putting it. So clearly you are very attuned to what the children that you're involved with teaching, looking after, you think are going to like. How have they reacted to the story?
I'm always absolutely amazed. I go into quite a few schools to do author visits.
Yes.
And it is always such, it's a real privilege actually to go into schools and children's faces just light up. I mean, who doesn't love a pirate? So, as you say, boys and girls alike.
Yes.
And they just love listening to how you became an author, how the story came about. It's quite interesting in the age ranges. So if I go into a year one class, which is sort of age between 5 and 6,
yes,
they'll ask a lot of questions about the story and the characters. If you go into a year six class, which is sort of age 10 or 11, mm-hmm. they'll ask you more about how you became an author and the whole publishing process. So, yeah, some really interesting questions from the little ones all the way up to the older primary school children.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, that is fascinating to think that even kids then, when they're getting to sort of 10 or 11, are sort of looking at the whole thing a little bit wider than it just being a storybook. And they're really interested then to quiz you on some of those things, like, you know, how you got into writing, how it was that the book then eventually got published and so on. So once again, we need to give a big thumbs up to Candy Jar, publishers who obviously are here in Cardiff. When did the book actually come out, Christine?
The book came out in 2018.
Right.
So, a little while ago now, but of course we've had a few things happen in between then, haven't we?
A few things along the way,
it came out about 4 years ago.
Right, and was that actually the first time that you had a book in print?
Yes, it's the first time I've had a book in print. I do write bits of poetry and other stories, but this is the first time that I've ever had a book published. Excited I was.
Absolutely. And as you say, a difficult time, obviously, then with COVID coming along and obviously people all hunkering down and not necessarily getting out and about to buy books and so on. But I'm sure probably you had some great feedback from people on the topic of the book. And has it given you then the sort of the push to carry on writing and to have further books now ready to go?
Yes, absolutely. I've started writing the sequel. In fact, it's almost completed now.
Okay.
So that will be heading off to Sean at Candy Jar very soon.
Yes.
There's a sequel coming out to Jack, and who knows where they'll end next, because, you know, he is a time traveller and an adventurer. And you may well find that sea monster crop up again. Who knows?
And it's great that there is that little bit of a sense of peril in it as well, isn't it? Because, I mean, kids, you know, certainly once they get to a reasonable age, they do rather like that feel of just being a little bit on the edge and not quite sure if everything's going to work out okay, don't they?
Yes they do. I mean, they'll ask you. I mean, usually, so when I go into schools and do the author visits, they'll ask you, get to a certain point, and I'll say, right, I'm just going to read out this chapter. I do try to leave it on a cliffhanger.
Well, of course,
as to I won't give too much away.
No,
try to leave it as a cliffhanger as I'm reading a part of that chapter, and I'll just snap the book shut and I'll say, but you'll have to read the rest to find out what happens.
Yes.
And they like can't stand it. It's like, I need to know now what's going to happen to him.
So
there is that bit of peril, and they do love a bit of adventure,
well,
a bit of danger.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, we can't sort of reiterate too often to people how vital it is to get children into the habit of reading, and for them hopefully to develop a love of reading from an early age. And so it is just so important, isn't it, that there are books out there like this that will catch children's imagination, make them want to turn over that first page, and hopefully, as we said, then fall in love with reading for the rest of their lives.
Yes, yeah, as you say, you know, as an educator, I can't reiterate enough how important it is for children to start reading, you know, at months old, really. Introduce them to a book and learn how to turn pages and learn which way the writing, you know, the direction the writing goes. Look at the illustrations and talk about it. You don't have to read together. You can look at the illustrations and, you know, and talk about those. And that, that just encourages lots of language. And that, in turn, the more language you introduce to children when they're reading, the better writers, you know, readers, of course, but the better writer they will be as well. I mean, I've got some, you know, wonderful illustrations in my book that you can talk about and discuss by Terry Cooper, who illustrated mine. So lots of opportunity, not just in to reading, but as I say, language, vocabulary,
all of that. Yeah, well,
very important.
Certainly, Terry Cooper, you've mentioned. I know that he has illustrated probably many of the books that we've been chatting about on the programme here over the last couple of years. Really, a fine illustrator. And as we said, just going back to this whole concept of children getting a love for reading, I mean, the other thing which is absolutely wonderful, of course, is the having mums, dads, grandparents, friends and so on reading to the children, because that bond there, you know, it's just a wonderful thing, isn't it, when the kids are just starting to get a bit sleepy and they think, right, just time for one quick story or a chapter or two from a particular story for them to send them off into the land of Nod.
A wonderful thing. Yes, I mean, you know, that's how it's meant to be, isn't it? You share a book with someone. There's nothing more magical than that, really. And that was my mum was super at that. I mean, she was one on her own in that she could tell stories off the top of her head. So she sort of inspired me in that way, along the story and the magic and the narration kind of line.
Right.
That bedtime story is so important. You know, I've got three grandchildren now, and they all have had bedtime stories read to them since they were tiny.
Yes.
You know, months, just a year old, and they come into the house and they'll just pick up a book and sit down with you and read it, and they'll read it with granddad. You know, it's really important. Yeah, very important. Older brothers and sisters as well. You know,
well,
pretend you're a teacher. That's a good idea to be. You know, you can get get your children to pretend to be the teacher and read to them. That's always a really nice little activity to do, actually.
Well, there we are. Clearly, you've thought a lot about this, Christine, I can tell. So, looking into the future, you've said, obviously, there's another story there sort of on the stocks ready to go. What could we expect, then, from Volume 2 of Jack Flynn's Adventures?
Well, as I've said, he's a time traveller. And he still likes to go to his Auntie Becky's, to the seaside. So we'll have to wait and see. Shall I give you a little clue?
Shall I think
give you
a tiny, tiny clue? Yeah, okay. Tiny clue.
Well, I'll give you a tiny clue. He does go back in time again, but this time quite a way back in time. And he meets King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
We're talking.
Might find that he has a few familiar faces from the previous book, character-wise. And,
excellent, excellent. Yeah. So, how do you like to write? Are you somebody who burns the midnight oil? Are you somebody who just squeezes it in when you can? Because clearly, you're a very busy woman. I can see that. Yeah. But how do you like to write?
Well, I don't burn the midnight oil.
No.
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Not anymore.
I usually give myself, a really nice period of time where I can sit down, have some peace and quiet, have some, quiet music on in the background, perhaps.
Yes.
I'm a bit old-fashioned in that I like to use a pencil and I draft it out in pencil first.
Oh, excellent.
So that's what I will do. I've got notebooks and notebooks, of pencil jottings.
Yes.
So, and I like to make a plan and then I'll work to that plan. And that's something else that the children are always interested in. How do you plan your story? Where do you start? Is it the beginning, the middle, or the end? And quite often I thought, actually, I don't ever start at the beginning.
Right.
I usually start with the middle bit, the bulk of the idea of the story, and then work around that. But pencil and paper, and then I'll draft it onto my laptop, onto Word.
I'm so thrilled to hear that, you are still one of these people who likes to use, in this case, a pencil and some paper.
Because another pencil.
Computers are great, but, you still can't beat a bit of new paper and a pen or a pencil or whatever to draft the things out. And obviously, now that you've decided, there is going to be a second adventure and hopefully a third and fourth, clearly, that must impact on the way that you write, because all of a sudden, and you think, I don't have to throw everything into this particular book, because clearly you want to spread things out so that, it is absolutely an ongoing story.
That's right, and you're thinking about how that can develop, really. So, don't throw everything in one. But with Jack, it's quite nice because the stories are sort of self-contained, if you like.
Yes.
It's the characters that you also want to develop as well, isn't it, as long if you're going to carry on and do sequels, really.
I suppose so, because it gives you that chance to give all the characters a little bit more depth, doesn't it, after the first book. The other point, of course, is that with the audience, that you now have, they're going to be growing up alongside the characters as well, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, you think about that when you go into, I went into schools sort of, 3 years ago or so, and the children that would have bought the book then and read that, they'll be sort of a little bit older, 3 years older now, won't they, really?
Well, absolutely.
So, you have to adapt it a little bit for that as well.
So, Candy Jar have published the book, and fine job that they have done with it.
They have indeed.
Do we have anywhere that we can go to find out more information about your good self, though? I mean, do you have a website, a Facebook page, or anything like that?
I don't really. I haven't got a website. I need to sort that out, don't I, really?
I think you should.
It's a good idea.
we like to tell people, we like to say, here we are, here's the website detail. But obviously then people can go to the Candy Jar and Jelly Bean Publishing website and obviously find out information about the book, where they can purchase it, etc., etc. And it sounds to me like it could be an ideal little thing for birthday presents, later on for Christmas and what have you, or just something for grandma or granddad to buy to have there for when the grandkids come to call, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's what I would call an easy read.
Yes.
You can, if you're 6 and 7 and you want to read it with your parents, your sister, your brother, whoever, your grandparents, it's a nice easy read to read together, but it's also a nice read to have, to read. It's not a great big thick book. It's a nice easy read. Yeah.
And I mean, that, as we said, is important, because what you don't want to do is you in a sense don't want to put children off something by making them a bit afraid and thinking, oh gosh, this too many pages in this book. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I still think that about some books now that
I pick up.
Yes,
you do, don't you? Think, oh, that looks a bit heavy.
Yeah,
so no,
yeah.
I won't. But there's also, I have to add, there's some super pirate jokes at the back of this book as well.
Pirate jokes?
Pirate jokes.
Like
yeah,
that.
You can't beat a pirate joke.
No, you certainly can't. So now, would you imagine that the illustrations for book number two will be with in the capable hands of Terry as well?
I certainly hope so.
You hope so.
Is it agreeable to do that? Yeah, I would love him to do those.
Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant. And are you considering at the moment then developing other sort of ideas for books in the future? Or do you think at the moment you're going to stick very much now just with this series? Because clearly, as we said, it could obviously run and run and run. But
yeah.
Is there anybody else planned to be heroes other than Jack Flynn?
Well, there is, yeah. I have got an idea in the pipeline, but
right.
It would be sort of for a little bit older, perhaps,
yeah.
I don't know, 11, 12 sort of early teens.
Right.
When we moved into our house, which is a little while ago now, we had an old-fashioned, sort of the 1930s telephone left behind by the previous people.
Right.
And it wasn't plugged into anything, but every now and again, it would just ring a little bit.
Interesting.
So that's where I'm going with that one. So it's going to be a bit of a ghost story, a little bit of mystery,
nice.
But also it'll be an historical story too.
Lovely,
yeah.
Lovely. Christine, thank you so much for your time this morning, for fitting
thank
us
you
into
me.
Your busy schedule. We have to say cheerio now because it's coming up towards 9:30 time for the news, but I wish you all the very best with Jack Flynn and the Pirate Porthole, that it continues to sell well, and I look forward hopefully one day for you to be able to come in on our programme in person and have a chat.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.